It's called Palm Sunday. Most of the time we tend to dwell more on the Passion than on the Palm entry into Jerusalem. And yet it's an important aspect of the whole story. If you go to Jerusalem, you will see the gate that Jesus went through. It's called the Golden Gate. And there's two doors on the gate. It's all bricked up in this gate. It's in the Kidron Valley, so if you come through the Kidron Valley from the Garden of Gethsemane, you would come to these two big gates. Those are the gates that Jesus rode through on his donkey on Palm Sunday. But they're also the gates that he went out of after the Last Supper to walk in the valley to go to Gethsemane. So, the first time he goes there, on a donkey, crowd shouting admiration for him. The next time he walks out of there, a free man but concerned. Then he's arrested and bound, and front march back through those same golden gates to await his further fate. The Golden Gates are an important part of the city. They were one of the main ways in and out. They're quite big by the standards of some of the gates of Jerusalem. At one time there were 12 different gates around the city. But they overlook the Kidron Valley, and if you go and stand, if you go to the temple area, you can see the inside of those gates. It's an amazing view over the Kidron Valley and to the Garden of Gethsemane. You get from there. It's a small little place. And Jesus would most probably have heard the guards walking across, because I doubt they came across in total silence and smell. And he knew that he was going to be arrested. He knew the story. He knew what the scriptures had said. And there he is in prayer. Deep. And not just for a few minutes, for several hours this goes on. Going back occasionally to see that his great supporters had fallen asleep and abandoned him. Something he was never going to do to them. And when the going gets tough, as it does when the people arrive, what do they do? They run away. His trusted friends deserted. How does he feel at that moment? Does he feel hurt? Does he feel upset? Is he just so concerned about his own situation that those who have deserted him don't even impinge on his thoughts? No. He feels a sense of isolation, he feels a sense almost of betrayal. And he feels that every time we sin. Because in our own way, when we do sin, we desert him in the same way they did in the garden. But he doesn't condemn them for their actions. He knows that humanity is weak and flawed. When he rises from the dead, he doesn't tell them off for running away. He just tries to encourage them to start again. And that's exactly what he does with each and every one of us. As we turn back to him, he's always there ready to forgive and help us to make a fresh start. He's gone in a short space of time, with a pipe in his palms, riding into Jerusalem to be at the depths of almost despair. He's going to end his final day in a dirty and smelly pit, on his own, in Jerusalem, knowing what he's feeling. just when you think you've got everything sorted and it's all just about nicely balanced and going well, something suddenly happens and it all gets messed up. And we think, oh, that's not fair. You know, God shouldn't do that to me. I'm a good person. But look what he did to his son. That's why Jesus knows us and loves us. That's why he understands us better than we understand ourselves. And that is why he went to the cross, so that we could be redeemed and not condemned. On Sunday is the day when we shout, Hosanna to the King. But it's a thing we should do each and every day, to recognize the love that God has for each and every one of us.
So let us once more